Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill. New Mexico is set to get over $1.7 billion from the federal government. The governor wants to decide how to spend it, even though the state constitution says that should be done by the state legislature. I had a chance to talk with Jim Townsend, who is the minority leader of the New Mexico House of Representatives, about what is called an extraordinary legislative session. This was recorded Friday, July 2nd. With me in the studio today is the minority leader of the House of Representatives in New Mexico, Jim Townsend. And this isn't partisan. I know you're a Republican, but some Democrats are upset about this as well. The federal government sent New Mexico, what was it, $1.7
billion? $1.75.
And the governor has decided she's going to disperse that. And as I understand, according to our Constitution, that should be done by the state legislature.
That is absolutely true. It's clear. The legislative body is the appropriating body. There is procedure set up in our Constitution for the governor's oversight. She has the right to agree to veto, and the legislative bodies then have the right to override that veto should a number of them come together on an override. So she has a process that has been fortified and has set precedents, and she should use it.
So now I see where House Republican Whip Rod Montoya has asked for what's called an extraordinary legislative session. So explain to our listeners what that is.
An extraordinary session is the process within the Constitution for legislators to call themselves back into session. Currently, there are three ways. By Constitution, the governor can call a special session, or the legislators can call it an extraordinary session. It takes 3/5 of both bodies to call us back into special session, and those proclamations went out yesterday to every legislator, and they have until next Friday to sign those. And I'm hopeful that we will be in an extraordinary session soon, and we'll solve this problem of appropriating with the governor.
So we don't know why she thinks that she has the right to distribute this money herself without going through the legislature. And I think most New Mexicans would agree that you don't want one person, whether it's this governor or any governor, making these decisions. This is why we have representatives from every part of the state come together for these things.
That's exactly right. And I would be doing this if it was a Republican governor, an independent governor, or a Democratic governor. The legislative body should not allow the governor to assume our role constitutionally and to sidestep us. And that's exactly what's going on.
Assuming we don't get a extraordinary session, would there be lawsuits over something like this?
That is certainly an option. I mean, it comes down to the point of, are you going to stand on principle? Are you going to stand on the Constitution? Or are you going to let a governor of whatever party just walk all over it without regard to the Constitution? And I'm not willing to do that. There's a lot more federal money supposedly coming. So the line has to be drawn sooner or later. And if it's not on $1.75 billion, at what point is it?
And if we're not going to have our legislature do what the Constitution says, then what's the point of having a legislative session at all?
Yeah, going up there and staying for 60 days is not much fun. If you realize that you're going up there for nothing, that it doesn't make any difference, that the people that voted you in then realize that you don't have the opportunity to represent them, they become very frustrated, and they are.
And that's another problem, too, because they give up, and then they don't go vote.
Right, and that's not good for our nation. It's not good for New Mexico, and it's certainly not good for these individual communities that are trying to claw back from the depths of COVID.
And for folks who don't know, Jim Townsend is the representative from District 54, which is down in southern New Mexico. But you're up here today, stopping by our studio here in Rio Rancho, and on your way to Santa Fe.
I am. I will be with the governor about lunchtime today.
I do wonder why she would do this. I wondered why, for instance, whether you like the governor or not you, Jim, but our listeners, she's not stupid. I've interviewed her. She's not a stupid woman. So these little things like having her daughter do her hair and makeup and using campaign funds to pay for that, she could have easily paid for that out of her own pocket and avoided all this controversy. So you just wonder, why would she do that?
I talked to her last Friday. And we were talking about the $600 million going into the UI trust fund, unemployment trust fund, which I am totally in support of. And I told the governor that I was. We had that in House Bill 2 last year. We voted on it. We passed it with a 60-10 vote. It was bipartisan, well supported. And she's the lady that vetoed it. And so asking me whether I supported it or not, you can look at my vote record, and it's easy to tell that I do. But I told her then, I said, Governor, we may not disagree on where the money's going, but the process, I feel if what I hear at the water fountain is true, we're probably going to have words about the process because you're sidestepping the legislature. You don't have to. You can call us into a special session. My goodness, we just came back from a special session on legalizing cannabis.
Right.
We can do that real quick. We can probably do it in a single day. You can have the legislature support you. You'll have the votes to go with it, and you won't have this controversy. But my job is to protect my caucus and to protect the institution of the legislature, and you are causing me to cross horns with you because what you're doing is not constitutionally correct.
Even though you agreed on the bill.
Even though I agreed on the bill. Yeah. Absolutely.
There was no reason to go down that road.
No reason. Quite frankly, it's silly and lacks real leadership. When you make the decision to bust the Constitution, to cause a fight, to delay the process that's a good process just because you're prideful.
Our state opened July 1st, so we're happy about that.
We are.
But there's a lot of businesses now that are no longer here in New Mexico, and it's easy to say, well, everybody has 20/20 hindsight. We should have done this. We could have done that. However, you look at states like South Dakota, where they never closed. And all their businesses survived, and they didn't have a higher infection rate or death rate per capita than New Mexico. So when people talk about what a great job the governor did, and I realize any governor would have a tough time with this because you don't want to be responsible for any deaths. But you look back now and you say, well, maybe we were a little too strict.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt in my mind, and I have told the governor this, when COVID first knocked on our door, I don't think she had any choice whatsoever but to take significant steps to try to protect the population. I got that, and I supported that. But very quickly thereafter, it became apparent when science started being revealed that we could have been free, we could have followed many other examples in the United States, and we could have saved a ton of equity of businesses, we could have saved jobs, and we could have saved many business establishments had we been more forthright in opening up.
There are businesses like restaurants where they were forced to close even though there was never any sign that anybody had gotten COVID there. Now those businesses sued and lost in the state Supreme Court, but it still seems to me that their due process was violated. I could see if people were walking out of there getting sick, you shut them down, that business, individually.
Absolutely. Yeah. And think about Magdalena, New Mexico, had darn near no occurrences of COVID. It's a small, isolated community. They shut down everything there. There was jobs lost. There were people that lost thousands of dollars. And what does that little community do? They start driving to Amarillo or to Albuquerque in order to get bread and water.
Sure, yeah.
And they caused their community to be at higher risk. I mean, it lacks science. Right. I mean, it just doesn't make any dang sense.
I'm talking with our minority leader in the New Mexico House of Representatives, Jim Townsend. Jim, thank you.
You betcha. Thank you for having me.
I will be back with more Inside New Mexico in just a moment.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. Our chairman of the Republican Party, Steve Pierce, spoke with Mike Shinneberry at KRSY Radio in Alamogordo. Here is part of that interview.
It's always great to have Steve Pierce on the line with us. I believe the last time, Steve, you were here, we were talking about the convention upcoming in Amarillo. That took place, from what I read online. It was an amazing convention, and some things came out of that that are being implemented around the state.
That's exactly right, Mike. We had about 350 to 370 people go to Amarillo. They were just hungry to hear what is going on, but also just a little taste of freedom. So we call that Operation Freedom, Positive Change for New Mexico. That's kind of the direction that we decided that we had to head. That New Mexico is not going to be turned around by a 30-second ad campaign, by a slick mayors, nothing else. We're going to have to get out and be the change that we want to see. So we had great speakers. That was no doubt. Christy Noem really kicked the thing off on Friday night. Saturday night, Jim Jordan wrapped it up really well. At the end of the time, as many people were participating on Sunday morning as started on Friday night, it was amazing. Usually you get a lot of deterioration on Sunday morning. But we had a worship service. I would guess that at least 320, 340 of the 370 people showed up. It was really an exciting event. So out of that, we felt like that we have to start showing the changes that we want to be. So we highlighted in Amarillo about 31 different Republicans around the state who are doing things in their field of interest, whether it be education, business, or the faith community, pro-life. So we highlighted these voices to where people could see that there are some folks out there doing what they can right now with what they've got to work with. We're not waiting for the next election. We're not waiting for us to have a supermajority. We're saying, look, we've got to start today, and we've got to turn our anger into action. So that's what Ambassadors for Change is all about. We set up different issue areas. For instance, we want to start a pro-life chapter in every single county. So we've got a person heading that up, and the Ambassadors for Change. We just want one person in Alamogordo and Otero County to stand up and say, I'll take responsibility in this county to start one. When we do that, now then we're doing specific things. The pro-life issue is very bipartisan. It's even nonpartisan. Just anyone who has a love for protecting the unborn could be a part of that. We're also engaging deeply in the faith community. We realize that there are many attacks happening on the faith leaders across the state. So we have a young lady who's a lawyer who is defending those faith communities here in the state. So we feel like that we've got to be telling our pastors that, look, we've got your back. You need to go ahead and live with your freedoms, let your congregation experience and express their religious beliefs. And so that's another one of the areas. In education, we have a lot of anger among just the entire population about education. And so our point is, if you are angry about education, then turn your anger into action. Run for school board. Be in the room and be one of the votes that is deciding on the curriculum. If you don't like the critical race theory, then do something about it. If you're not really tuned in to the public school system, we had a guy there speaking about the 5 charter schools he's got going in Albuquerque, and he's working on a group that will help start charter schools across the state. We had the people from a classical academy. That's a private school. So we had all of these folks who were out doing things right now to make their community a better place. We believe that when conservative Democrats see us in action, when they see our values being played out, not telling them, but us showing them the difference between Republicans and Democrats, I think that that's when we begin to win the state. So we're committed to our Ambassadors for a Positive Change. We're excited about it. We have just rolled out that new program. We've got videos showing people who we are, what we're about. We've got to be a presence in every county, and so we're calling a program county by county. So that's, in a nutshell, what we're doing since Amarillo, but it got kicked off there in that Operation Freedom Positive Change event.
One person here is all you need, as you said, to stand up. And I'm sure if that one person stood up, there would be others who would jump into the fray with him or her, whomever that might be. Now, Amy Barella, I know, works with the congressional district. She's a vice chair, I think. Oh my gosh, she, besides running a business, she is tireless in her efforts to put conservatism off of the back burner and back onto the front burner. So we need someone who has that passion that she does.
Absolutely. And a good example is Peggy Aragon on the school board in Albuquerque. So the APS system, they are going to just give every teacher, every employee $1,000 bonus. And Peggy, by herself, the only Republican on that school board, stood up and said, no, it's not right. You should direct the money into the classrooms to the students. They're the ones that have suffered the most. Plus, we don't think it's legal. There's an anti-donation clause where governments can't contribute to individuals. So her lone voice stopped that from moving forward completely. And that's what we're saying, that you may start out by yourself, but other people will come and join you. But be the change that you want to see. let's, again, we can't just stay here and be angry about where New Mexico is today. We can't just be angry about what the governor is doing to the state. We can't just be angry about Joe Biden and what he's doing to the state and to the nation. We've got to get out and start showing people that we will lead from the grassroots level. So the Ambassadors for Positive Change is basically a grassroots level saying, we need you, we need your volunteer efforts, let's get moving, let's get going.
New Mexico is pretty much a rural state. I believe Albuquerque, being our largest city, is a major metroplex. Las Cruces, our second largest. But I know a lot of people, including myself, who live in very rural areas, who just don't believe that Santa Fe and Washington, D.C., not only does not listen, they don't even care what we think out here.
They do not care. They are arrogant with their power. And I believe that conservative Democrats, I believe that the independents are ready to vote for significant change. They are seeing the destruction that is occurring nationally and here in the state. They're not going to just continue voting for Democrats, but we've got to show them that our ideas are better, that we're out there, that we're not just throwing ideas into the wind, that we actually do have the energy and the efforts to go out and start making these positive changes across the state. So it's a whole program. Yeah, we feel very good about it. We feel very strong about it. The initial rollout was strongly positive, a lot of good responses. And so we're just going to keep rolling and keep organizing across the state.
The president, Joe Biden, announced a new initiative, which is wholly anti-Second Amendment. It's amazing that his statements on the Constitution, such as no amendment is absolute, and yesterday that this wouldn't damage the Second Amendment, it would only strengthen it, which, do they think that we're just non-intelligent out here? I look at that as an insult. I've read the Constitution. I've read the amendments. I've studied them for several decades, and here we have an administration that basically says, we're going to erode even more your rights away, and there's not a thing you can do about it.
Yeah, that's the arrogance that I think that is going to finally undo the progressive left. They're moved past liberal. They're way past that. They're into leftism, into Marxism, and they believe that the rules don't apply to them. So the Constitution, that's just another thing, just another hurdle for them to walk past in the busy halls of Congress as they wield their power. Like you said, I don't believe we're that naive. I don't believe that we're that oriented to just supporting whatever Joe Biden says, whatever Kamala Harris says. When they start fiddling with the Constitution, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, there goes our freedom of religion if we're not very careful.
I will be back in just a moment with more Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Thanks for staying with me here on Inside New Mexico. Steve Pierce mentioned in that interview at KRSY about the ambassadors that are working for change in New Mexico. I'm going to let you hear some of the voices of these ambassadors, starting with Dinah Vargas, who does a radio show on our affiliate in Albuquerque, KDAZ. Here's what Dinah had to say.
Hey, everybody, this is Dinah Vargas, and I'm a former candidate for the House of Representatives for District 10. I decided to change my party affiliation from Democrat to Republican because of the life issue. When I came to find out that the Republican Party of New Mexico was very, very pro-life and they believed in the sanctity of life, whereas the Democrats advocated for the killing of the unborn for any reason whatsoever, it occurred to me that they had been lying to everybody, and that was something that I decided I had to speak against. What Republicans can learn from activism is that it's an active approach. To be an activist is to take action. And action means to work with your hands. If you're not working with your hands, you're not working with your heart. What I learned as a Republican running in the South Valley of Albuquerque is one thing, is that when I spoke to people door to door, event to event, they saw me and I saw them. And often we did not have a single difference between us. So all is not forgotten. It is the spirit of determination. It is being active as an activism. You got to get out there and you got to do it. Any step in that direction is the right step. It is essential that you put your name on the ballot, you put your name to the task, and you go do it, and here's why. Because who else is doing it if not you?
Here is Adelia Stith, who ran for New Mexico House of Representatives in 2020. He didn't win, but he's not giving up.
I am Adelius D. Stith. I live here in Albuquerque, of course, New Mexico, in Bernalillo County. My wife and I have been here now 5 years after retiring out of the military. One of the things that I've noticed since being back here in New Mexico, we have people who say that they have a certain value and they believe certain things, but the outcome of the elections do not represent those values and the things that they say they believe. I know that people like myself who are conservatives, we get pushback because they expect, people expect, other black people expect from me to be a Democrat because I'm black. And the problem I have with that is, what about what they believe in? What about their values? Those things should be important, not the fact that the color of my skin is dark. Those types of things are so condescending, and it just amazes me that no one even cared. Everything rises and falls on leadership. What type of leadership are we providing that is going to perpetuate these conservative values that will cause people to think and realize the things that are going on right now is not the direction that is going to get us where we want to go? We have to look at our values as saving lives, our values as not spending what you don't have, our values of protecting our home, our communities. We have to look at those things because right now the leadership that is being provided to us is not going to lead us in the direction of those things that I just mentioned.
Here's Pablo Lujan from northern New Mexico.
My name is Pablo Lujan from the Espanola Valley, a lifelong resident of the Rio Riba County. I'm a former school board member. I'm an advocate for what's important to our county and our state. I switched from Democrat to Republican because I don't believe our Democrat Party stands for the values, cultures, and traditions of northern New Mexico and New Mexico as a whole. The Democratic Party stands for outside interests from California, from New York, and they're trying to change what New Mexico is and will always be. They believe in changing our cultures, again, our traditions and our history. Republicans need to stand and talk to northern New Mexicans about the issues that are facing northern New Mexico, how we can create jobs and keep them here. We need to engage with Hispanics, with Native Americans on issues that the Democratic Party continues to change. This is how I feel that we will change New Mexico moving forward.
Dulce Marie has some insight on our education system in New Mexico. I think you'll find it quite enlightening.
Hi, everyone. I am Dulce Marie. I am living here in Santa Fe, New Mexico. I'm from New Mexico. I got my bachelor's degree in finance at the University of New Mexico. And I also have my master's in education from Texas Christian University, TCU, so not that far from Amarillo, Texas. I was looking at the education system here, what was offered, what jobs were available. And one that kind of came across was financial literacy at Capital High School. And I was like, this might be a great opportunity for me to really combine both finance and education. When I started teaching personal finance at the time, they didn't have an actual curriculum. So I came in, there was no books, there wasn't anything. And I'm like, okay, what can we do? I'm just so thankful and really blessed, honestly, for my boss, because she approved the Dave Ramsey program. That's really kind of where it started. Looking at the data of how many students actually know how to manage money, even adults, I was really surprised when I moved here and I started teaching literally everyone that would ask me, what do you do? I would say, well, I teach personal finance at Capital High School. And they'd say, oh my gosh, I wish I had that. Things would have been so different. Adding this curriculum into the program has been super, super important to my students. The students that have graduated always tell me, you know, thank you for teaching me how to budget, how to even look for an apartment. How do I pay for that? How do I apply for a car loan? So this class is not just about savings and budgeting and investing. It's bigger than that. I wish there was more classes like this, because there's two teachers here in Santa Fe only that are teaching this class. It's made a difference for parents as well. And I actually have them interview the parents a lot of the times, like, what are you doing for the house when it comes to budgeting? And some of my seniors are like, I never even knew my parents were in this debt, or they had a mortgage at this rate. And then I teach them about refinance. All school districts should offer some type of personal finance, financial literacy to their students. So I would highly encourage school districts to be open to learning this, especially for the future of the state. If we have everyone being financially successful, the state itself will be financially successful. All students should have the opportunity to learn financial literacy. It's an empowerment. It's something that every student should learn. So not just high school students should learn this. I believe that middle schools should also implement this type of program for them to succeed in the long haul. So thank you, guys. I'm so excited to meet you all in Amarillo. Anyway, I can help. Please let me know. Thank you.
If you would like to join these folks and get involved with the Republican Party of New Mexico, you can do that several ways. One is by going to the website at www.gopnm.org. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account. The handle is at New Mexico GOP. If you would like to talk to somebody, you can call Republican Party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. I'm Derek Underhill. Thanks for tuning in. I look forward to meeting with you again next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.